Moses. What a guy. If Moses lived in our generation, he'd wanted to, he could have managed the World Series team or pastored the world's largest church or beaten Muhammad Ali, and I wish he lived in our generation. But he could have been the best football player. Moses had everything. Everything. Talk about a ten-talented man. He broke the power of the Egyptian king, melted the heart of the hard Pharaoh, delivered 3.5 million Jews from bondage, and delivered them to the very door of the promised land. A lawgiver, an administrator, fed 3.5 million people for 40 years. Heaven and earth were obedient unto him. Pharaoh dreaded his words more than all the armies of all the nations of the world. He was a master with the pen. He heard the rumblings of Sinai and entered into the very presence of God and brought back God's message word for word to God's people. What a man Moses. Powerful man. Sometimes his voice was like a tornado. Sometimes it was like the river bursting its banks and covering the land with water. Sometimes it was like a flood. Sometimes it was like thunder and lightning as he came from Sinai. But sometimes it was like small rain upon a tender earth. Small rain. The word rain there is a word that also is translated hair, H-A-I-R. It means rain. Did you ever see a hair fall? Believe me, I have. Shut up. But, you ever see a hair fall? Two of them. And what he says here, now, when a hair falls, it's not very heavy, and so there's not much gravitation, and it just, sort of like that. Just means you weep all the way while you watch it go. Moses said, as soft as a drop of rain, falling as slowly as a hair, is the doctrine of Christ. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not advocating tonight that we should never thunder out against sin or against wrong. I'm not advocating for a single moment that we should not have our cloud bursts and our floods and our hurricanes from the pulpits. There are times when a parent must come to his child like a flood. A pastor must come to his people like a great thunderstorm. A leader must come to his followers, and yes, a manager must come to his players like a heavy rainstorm. The honest, simple truth is, most of us have learned how to storm, but never how to be like the small rain upon the tender earth. Look at the Heavenly Father. He who thundered out lightnings and thunder on Mount Sinai. He who made the worlds and sent a flood to destroy the entire world, save 8 people. He who is someday coming in the clouds of glory to make war with all the holy angels with him. He who rained fire on Sodom and Gomorrah. He who caused the city of Pompeii to be caught in the act of its sins. He who said, be sure your sin will find you out. He who someday will take the unconverted and cast them into the torments of a prepared place for an unprepared people. He who someday will sit on the throne of all the universe, the great white throne, and say, depart from me, you cursed, to everlasting fire, I never knew you. That same omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, powerful, lightning and thunder God is the same God who feeds the ravens and watches the sparrow fall and clothes the lilies of the field and numbers the hairs of our head. If you've heard me preach 6 months, you know that I love the 8th Psalm. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Who has set thy glory above the heavens? The psalmist was looking at the stars at night and he was magnifying the great power of God. And the psalmist said, my, what a God you are. Thy platform is what he said. Your platform could not be on earth. Your performance is too mighty and too great. It could not even be in the heavens. We had to set the platform for the performance of God above the heavens. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, thou the great performer, who has set thy glory above the heavens. That's a proud verse. But notice the small rain upon the tender herb in the next sentence, which says, for out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength, because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. Look at Jesus. See him in the temple, getting the whip, the cords, turning over the tables, driving out the money changers, and I think saying with a stern voice, make not my house a den of thieves. And here that same cloudburst become a small drop of rain, like a hair coming on the gentle earth, when he said, suffer little children, forbid them not to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. Look at John the Baptist, who could say to people, insincere people walking down the aisle, go back to your seats, you generation of vipers, bring forth fruit meat for repentance. A thunderstorm coming from his lips. And yet notice the tender, small rain with the tender herb when he said, I must decrease and he must increase. Think of the Apostle Paul, who at the island of Cyprus could speak to a man, a leader, and strike him blind with one great stroke of power. There he was filled with the Holy Spirit. He struck the enemy of God blind and said, go to, thou child of mischief. Hear him as he thunders in the sky, and the floods come. But hear him as he drops like a small drop of rain on a tender herb, like a hair falling. When he said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. My brethren reckon that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Think of him as he stands and speaks and preaches and thunders out the truth of God, but then see the small rain dropping on the tender herb, as he said in Romans 9:1, I could wish myself accursed for my brethren, my kinsmen, my brethren according to the flesh. I know most of the great preachers in America personally. And I've heard them preach their sermons on the wrath of God and the judgment of God. But I also know that every great preacher I know is as tender as small rain on the tender earth. I like to never learn that. Preacher boys, Hiles Anderson students, don't get the idea that it's all thunder and lightning and storm and tornadoes. If you're going to be a successful pastor, you're going to have to thunder out a message with a flood from heaven sometimes. Just as sure as the floods will come in a great cloud burst as a man of God stands up like Elijah and prays down the fire of God from Carmel's hill, just as sure as he does that, there must be the time when you stand before people whom you love, look in the faces of those with whom you serve, and see their lips still and their eyes closed and their hands crossed over their breast, and see the gathering of loved ones, and that flood that has come and that thunderstorm must all of a sudden become like a small rain on a tender herb. I guess the hardest thing I ever learned in the ministry was this. I
I guess to a young preacher, he likes the thunderstorms. My pastor, we used to, in our church, we had a 12 ladies that gave the pastor trouble. Here we don't have any ladies. There were about 1,000 men, but no ladies. And 12 ladies, and my pastor would get up, preach the sermon one time on the Dirty Dozen. Boy, I like that. I went to sleep during his funeral. But I like it, the Dirty Dozen. There's something about a young preacher boy. It just sort of puts bit in his craw and blood in his veins and fire in his blood. But he thunders out and says, you bunch of pussyfoot and compromise and ear tickling, back scratching, penny pinching, nickel lipping, soft soaping, pink tea and lemonade preachers. You know I get right. And I like that too. Still like that. Don't have much use for a preacher who wouldn't say it. But don't miss the other side. While you get the thunderstorm, don't miss the small rain on the tender earth. While you're in Hiles Anderson College and you hear the sermons on the judgment of God and the tares and the fires of hell and the torments of the unsaved and get out of your sin and live for God and live right and get out of the world. And we all preach like that. Don't forget, brethren. Don't forget the times that the message comes like small rain on a tender earth. Folks are often critical of me, and I'm afraid far too often it's justified. Sometimes it isn't. I guess the hardest thing I do anymore is preach to people whom I pastored, preach hard to people whom I pastored 15 years. When I buried you dead, prayed for your babies and married you young, wept with you and suffered with you and loved you. Then I see you go into sin, maybe. Stand behind the pulpit and thunder out against your sin. I don't want to because I love you. But I love you so much I have to. A lot of folks saved me last Sunday morning. You, when you get that tape, you'll hear me. You'll play that in back, too. A fellow walked in the door of me last Sunday morning. Not while I was preaching. You know I don't allow that. Sit down right here. I stopped and said, don't do that anymore. And I got a lot of criticism for it. What you didn't know was that fellow ruined a service at Hiles Anderson College a few weeks ago and was expelled from college. Stood up in the middle of the service and ruined it. Had to carry him out. What you didn't know is that he'd been sitting up here in the service and he decided he wanted to sit down here on the front while I was preaching, walked over and broke through where the usher was. So you didn't know that. You didn't know that. All you knew was you wanted to criticize the preacher because he was giving a thunderstorm all of a sudden. When you do it or when you hear it, after I preach sometimes a hard sermon, you come to the study for a while. You come to the study for a while. Or you go to the study before I preach on hell and hear me argue with God that I don't want to do it. Unless something happened between the time he fell and the time he hit the floor, I've got a daddy there. Now I don't want to preach on it. Now I like to preach on it. I've 10,000 times to preach on the land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. To preach on the torments of the unsaved. Three little things I want to say to you tonight. Sort of pastoral-like. First thing I want to say is this. We ought to have tender hearts for tender herbs. As the small rain upon the tender herbs, we ought to have it for the children in Christ, the babes in Christ. It's an amazing thing, isn't it? It took us 20 years to quit smoking. We want the new Converse to do it in 20 minutes. I mean, we expect folks to get saved and sanctified and petrified and called to preach at the same time at the altar. And most of us didn't come to church on Sunday night. We've been saved 5 years. I think our Lord comes tonight and Moses says tonight, the tender herbs. Now, of course, there's a time when the flood, the levee must break, and the dam must break, and the river must come out of its bounds, and he must destroy everything. There's a time when God must do that. These little tender, sweet Christians who just got saved, they don't know all we know. They don't know the lingo and the language. They don't understand all we understand. We're going to have to be very careful, be like the small rain on the tender earth. You've heard me mention it before. A new development took place. I wish I could relive a lot of my life. I wish I could relive the early years. God knows I was sincere. But I didn't have enough small raindrops. So many times, and the Lord blessed, because He knew I didn't know any better. And He knew I was sincere, and God knows I've always been sincere. But sometimes, in the early years, if I could take back some of the things I said, but don't misunderstand me. I believe in preaching hell. You know that. I believe in preaching judgment. You know that. I believe in fighting the devil. You know that. But I had no change of pace. With all the storms that I've caused needlessly could be called back, and I could let drops of love fall and words fall like small rain upon the tender herbs. I'd love to do it. There was a fellow came to Miller Road Baptist Church. You heard me tell about him? One of the sweetest Christians I ever met. Sat back in the back, nothing, sat out in the audience, and I'd preach. He'd get so happy, and he'd say, "Praise Jesus. Praise Jesus. I can see your smile." And I loved him very much. He came down the aisle one day and said, "Well, how's God's called me to preach?" I had the idea that if God called you to preach, take off, cut loose. God will tell you what to say. And if you don't have the chance to get training, maybe He would. But I took that little tender herb and I cut it from its root too soon. Ended up preaching. It wasn't ready. He committed a crime. Spent years in the penitentiary. Dr. Billings, I got word the other day. He's younger than I. Got word the other day that he's dead. Or if I could relive it. And take some small drops of rain, one drop at a time, with the softness of a falling hair, put it on that tender herb so it wouldn't drown it, and destroy it! 10,000 times I thought I'd love to relive that. Those days again. Tonight in Dallas, Texas, is a man in the penitentiary. In the penitentiary, Texas now. Yes, remember my church. Sort of an unusual kind of a fellow. He wasn't crazy. He was a brilliant man, but he was sort of a neurotic kind of a guy. You know, like Brother Fizz. And he got a little peeved at me. He's the only person that ever has been peeved at me. But he got a little peeved at me. And I didn't know in those days. Nobody ever told me, "Great peace have they which love the hello, and nothing shall offend them." I didn't even know the verse in those days. Love those that hate you, and bless those that curse you, and pray for those that despise you. I didn't even know about that. All I knew was a for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. He said something unkind to me, and I said something unkind to him. He drifted away from church. It may have been that unkind word that I said that caused it. Got jealous of his wife not long ago, a few months ago. I got a letter from him. Got jealous of his wife. Shot her in the head and killed her. One of the sweetest little members we ever had in our church. He was a fine man. Who knows but what? When I gave the flood tides instead of the small rain upon the tender herb, it may have been the thing that sent his wife to a premature grave.
Who knows but what? If I had known about the small rain, like the softness of a hair falling to the tender herb, who knows but what if I had known about that?
That man could be a free man walking the streets with his children tonight. Let's be careful about these babes in Christ. Students, these folks who come from churches are not quite like the one you attended. Don't quite understand all the convictions we have. Sure, we have rules, and we're going to keep them and enforce them. And if you deserve to merit, you'll get them. But in Jesus' name, let's sometime, learn to love each other enough where our words come like small rain on tender earth. Oh, the storms I'd like to change from cloudburst of thunder to small rain and tender drops of rain like the hair falling to the ground. There's a second. By the way, how about you? How about you? I say, let me say this too. We all be this way to everybody. Most of our talk to each other shouldn't be unkind talk. Most of our talk in our Sunday school classes, in our churches, in our schools, in our homes, shouldn't be unkind talk. I go off the broadcast every morning saying, and I say it, and I love to hear me say it. You say it when you go off with the John? Same thing. When I go off the broadcast, I love to say it. Goodbye. God bless you. Thanks for listening. Drop by again tomorrow. I would like to drop by the pastor's study today. And don't forget, say it with me. Be good to everybody, cause everybody is having a tough time. And everybody is. Everybody is. I thought this morning when I woke up, I think of you so often. You don't know how many times when I'm in a motel room, wake up in the morning, reach out and feel for my, well, first I feel for the alarm. and that puts me in such a foul spirit, I've got to get the Bible that quick. And read that Psalm 119, 165, great peace have they which love thy law, and not even alarm clock shall offend them. But I think about you so often. This morning when I woke up with a healthy body. Oh, a few snorts and sniffles, but nothing serious. I woke up able to get out of bed, preach, walk outside and breathe a good breath of sweat. Job to do it, work to do it, strength to do it, hallelujah! Man, what a blessing that is. Oil. And I thought of some of our folks waking up. I thought of that sweet little couple here tonight. They wake up every morning hoping that the story of their little afflicted child was but a dream and it wasn't true at all. I thought about them this morning. Afflicted child is still there. Still has a future of affliction. Maybe a premature death. I thought this morning as I got up, happy, strong, work to do, strength to do it. I thought about the empty crib that some of you folks have. I thought about Dave and Marcia Gifford. When they walked in one day and found the little baby dead. I'm sure many mornings after that they've waked up, hoping that it was all a bad dream or a nightmare, hoping to go to the crib and find the baby was alive and it was just a dream. I thought this morning about the two girls in our church who wake up every morning, whose mother has left them and forsaken them. Two of the sweetest girls you'd ever meet. They live with their dad. I thought about them this morning. I don't know if they're too fine new girls. No, they just took off. They woke up this morning with no mother to cook breakfast. They woke up this morning with no mother to get them ready for Sunday school. They woke up this morning with no mother to kiss them good morning in a sweet, tender caress. They need small rain on those tender herbs. One of them had a birthday long ago and I gave her a present. She came by and hugged me. Junior girl. They're real buddies of mine. I mean, they don't deserve this. Nobody needs our thunder and our horror and our scream and our backbiting and our gossip and our slander and our criticism and our bawling out and our screaming and our storms and our cloudbursts and our thunderstorms and our floods
and our bursting the banks. Nobody needs that. Thousands of people, everybody needs
small rain on tender herbs. One of our families woke up this morning and their teenage daughter is gone still. Go to the room and look in. Her bed is still empty. Where is she? What's she doing now? Why did she leave? Where did we fail? What mistake did we make? They sit in the room tonight. They need somebody to put small rain on tender herbs. Someone woke up this morning in our church and they sit here tonight whose son has an incurable disease. Some of the sweetest people I know. Boys here tonight, I'm sure. It always is. Pat him on the back, it'll break a bone. Teenage boy. Folks, a lot of folks don't have it as well as you do. I look around you during the song service. Just look around. Count the heartaches. Count the sorrows and count the broken hearts. Oh, this is a heartsick old world tonight. Sure, we need some prophets of God. Sure, we need some Mount Carmel and Elijah to bring down the fire from God and cut the head of the prophets off. We need some old-fashioned thundering, let alone hellfire and damnation preachers. But we also need in those same men of God and the same people of God a heart that's tender. So that it, along with the cloud burst and the rainstorm, the thunderstorm, that same person ought to be able to just drop a little sweet, small rain on the tender earth. Not only should we do that to the children in Christ and the suffering in Christ, but strange thing to say this, we also ought to do it to our own kids. Parents, let me talk to you for a minute. I counsel with so many of you. 85 to 100 of you a week I counsel with. Let me talk to you a minute. All the moms and dads, listen for a minute. Did you know that children need discipline, but they don't need many thunderstorms? You know children need rules made, enforced, and when broken, punished. But there's far too much screaming and hollering going on in the average household. Far too much of it. Far too much. Something irritates me. Something I don't like. I'm sorry, but small rain on tender herb will rear better children than sudden cloudburst with no provocation. I recall. Let me say this now. You've heard some of my cloudbursts, and don't get your hopes up. This is only a sermon a year. I guess I'm just trying to save on a skin. Yeah, I love you. I believe in rules, sternness, you know that. I also believe in tenderness. I'm talking to a lot of folks tonight who need to have a rededication of tenderness. I'm talking to some moms and dads tonight that need to have a rededication of tenderness towards their children. I'm not talking about being gooey now. I'm talking about speaking kindly. When the rain drops, yes, when there must be a cleansing, most of the cleansing can be done by a small rain on a tender earth. I recall when Dave was a little boy. He was bad one night. Well, every night. But I recall one night he was especially bad and he irritated me. Talk back to me. He wouldn't eat his green beans. He sat there 2 hours. I said, eat them before you get down out of your chair. He'd still been there, by the way, if he hadn't eaten them. Because there's one thing, I have my PhD in stubbornness. You say amen, I'll kill you. Anyway, I recall one night when he was an exceptional dad. I went to his room and in a fit of temper, I spanked him. I didn't spank him because I loved him. I spanked him because I was mad at him. No parent ought to ever do that. Ever. Ever. The parent spanks the child who disobeys or breaks the rule, you ought to say, go to your room, son. The child ought to stay in his room or stay somewhere in somebody's room. So mom or dad can get over his temper tantrum. And then like a judge in the Supreme Court, you ought to go up and say, son, what did you do? He tells you what he did. He said, son, I've got to spank you because the Bible says I have to. Quote a verse or two where God tells us to spank our children. Tell him why you spanked him. Spank him. Spank him till his will breaks. And then tell him why you spanked him when you're finished. Tell him you love him and have a prayer with him and let him stay there a while and think about his wrong. That's the way you spank kids. I took David upstairs, drug him, grabbed him, and drug him upstairs, and put him! Until I saw, and I didn't mean to do it. I didn't mean to do it. I saw little stripes. So I spanked him. Nothing wrong with that. The Bible says that that's the way to cleanse young people and help them. It wasn't the stripes that was so bad. It was the way I'd done it that was bad. He went to sleep that night, and I tiptoed into the door and opened the door to his room. And I heard him go, I walked inside, and I pulled down his little trousers or pajamas and saw the welts. In his sleep, he went, and I said, Lord, does it hurt you like that? And you have to spank me? Far too many of us have never learned to be tender. We don't know what it is to be sweet and kind and gracious. You know I'm a fundamentalist. You know that. I'm glad that where I go, I position myself as a fundamentalist. I'm not just an evangelical. I'm a fundamentalist. I'm glad to call myself that. I'll be a heaven that has golden streets and a hell that has fire and a sin that's black and a heaven that's higher and a Bible that's true and a salvation that's real. And I believe you've got to get born again. You've got to go to hell. I believe in the great white throne judgment of God. I believe in eternity without God where the unsaved burn and cry and beg for mercy forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. But I believe that the fundamentalist, if he's going to be right with God, or have a heart that's as big as the side of a barn. I don't think it's a disgrace to love somebody, be kind and sweet. But our words sometimes fall like small rain upon the tender herbs. I don't know if I'm getting old or not. I know I'm getting old. I don't know whether I'm getting mellow or not. I doubt if you think I am. I love people more than with the passing of every day. I'll be honest with you. I used to see the dark school. I'm the kind of guy, I know somebody for a day and I cry when I say goodbye. I can go to church and speak 2 days and I leave. You'd think I was a member of the family. And I'm busy and don't have many personal relationships. And most of my time alone, I guess. But I love, and God knows I do. I guess that's the hardest criticism I take. God knows I don't hate a person alive. God knows I love everybody. And God knows I wouldn't lift his hand to harm anybody for anything in the whole world unless it would be good for them and help them. But I want to live like the Master lived. I want to be willing to stand and fight if needs be. Oh, for the tender heart of the Savior who said, come unto me, and I'll give you rest. over the tenderness of this small rain upon the tender herbs. Who said to him that cometh to me, out of no wise cast out? Oh, for the tender small rain upon the tender herbs. Who said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. Oh, for the small rain upon the tender herbs. Tonight, let me ask the question. How's your temper? Huh? How's your temper? Teachers, how you been doing with this class? Huh? Have you given some demerits because you flooded instead of let a drop of rain fall like the piece of hair that falls? Parents, how you doing with your kids? Don't misunderstand me. And kids, don't you take any refuge, because I'm preaching next Sunday night on why we'll beat the devil out of them every day. How you doing, Mom? How you doing, Dad? One of these days that they're grown, they'll have nothing but memories of you. I wonder if they'll think of you as a mighty flood. Or a small rain upon the tender earth. I wonder if they'll think of you as a tornado running, coming down through town, blowing up everything that gets in its destructive pathway. Or if they'll think of you as a small rain on the tender earth. I wonder. I wonder. Moses, God bless him. Thank God for Moses. Here he is, an old man. Looks back over his life. A life for one time. He saw thousands of people killed at one time. And one time, where he came back down off the mountain and saw the people worshiping a golden calf, and he took the golden calf and ground it to powder and took the Ten Commandments and the tablets of the stone, fell on the ground and got the powder and put it in the water and made the juice out of it and made the folks drink it. Then he got on one side and said, "Those are the Lord's side. Let him come over here." Thank God for Moses. Thank God for him. He comes to die. He looks back over his life and recalls the torrential rains that he'd caused to fall, and justly so. He thought of the mighty floods that he'd triggered, and justly so. He thought of the times when the mighty river had overflown its banks and broken down the dams and the dikes, and justly so. Moses looked back on his life and he said, "My doctrine is like the small rain on the tender herbs." You have a tender heart tonight? The dark said something this morning I think was so wonderful. Athlete, All-American football player, not supposed to cry. Baseball player, not supposed to cry. But he said when he got right with God, started crying. You know why? God gave him a tender heart. Mrs. Dark said, and she went out this morning, she said, "I came here all the time. It'd take more than one handkerchief of service." God give us four handkerchief churches across this country. Reckon you ought to do something about it tonight. Hey, reckon? Rebecca Conde, reckon you ought to do something about that harsh, unkind spirit, about the unnecessary floods, the unnecessary torrential rains and cloudbursts and thunderstorms? I wonder about you. Huh? Reckon? Reckon you've rained too hard when you shouldn't have rained too hard? Reckon you caused the banks to overflow when one little drop falling like a hair on a tender herb would have done? I recall, and I'll close with this, I recall when I first came to this church. I'd preach on Sunday night, 50 or 60, 70 people maybe, on Sunday night. Nobody walked the aisle, and I said, "Oh Lord, give me a people receptive and responsive to the message. Give me a people who, when I preach on tithing, will start tithing, and who, when I preach on
on praying will start praying. When I preach on Bible study, we'll start studying their Bible. Give me a people responsive.
Bless God, He's given me that people. Now, folks, let's always pray that way. Let's always pray that way. Let's be sure that our lives and our church. I like the exciting stories. I like them. I thought about Mr. Pash. And the fellow slapped him the other day. I saw one in Mr. Pash. I love you in Jesus' name. That's a small one. He's on a tender earth. I read in, I think it was Time magazine, Alvin Darth. They asked him, didn't upset him or something when Mr. Finley rebuked him. And he said, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. That's the small rain on a tender earth. A small rain on tender earth. Small rain on tender earth. Small rain on tender earth. Like a drop of rain coming down like a hair. Let's pray. Father, keep the tears flowing. Keep the heart rejoicing. Keep the retaliation boxed up, harnessed. Help us to know when to use the foul burst. Help us to know when a flood is necessary and be willing to have it. But help us also to be very careful. Wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Be very careful to know when our conversation and our behavior ought not to be a raging flood, a river outside its banks casting destruction in its pathway, or a tornado coming through the town, blowing up all the houses. Help us to know when it's just enough to have small rain on tender earth. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. How is it? How is it? Have you been one of those that lust up fuss and fight and speak floods of ill tide? Have you been one of those that lust to retort? Have you been one of those that lust up thunder with a temper unharnessed like a river out of its banks? I wonder how many would say tonight, Brother Hiles, I'm afraid. I'm afraid God has spoken tonight. I just believe He has. I've been one of those raging rivers. I've been one of those mighty floods too often that it need to be. Brother Hiles, I'm afraid I don't have many little drops of rain like tender herbs on tender herbs. Ladies and gentlemen, if you know any farmer will tell you that a slow, steady rain is what he needs. Not enough rain will destroy the crop, and a flood will destroy the crop. I wonder who would say tonight, Brother Hiles, God spoke to me about a need in my life tonight. I'm afraid I have had too few small drops like on the tender earth. I'm afraid I've been like a raging river outside of its banks too often. I'm afraid I've needlessly been a mighty flood or a cloudburst or a thunderstorm, but it didn't need to be. God has moved my heart tonight. I ought to more and more be good to everybody, because everybody's having a tough time. I'm convicted because not enough have I been. Like small rain on tender earth. Pray for me, preacher. Pray for me. God has spoken to my heart about it tonight. Pray for me. Lift your hand, please. All over the building. All over the building. All over the house. Yes, thank you. God bless you. Who else? Raise your hand. Who else? God bless you. Heavenly Father, I want to give my people a well-balanced diet. And in that diet, there must be reminders like tonight. Not as spectacular as others. Not as dynamic as others. Not even as interesting as other sermons. But oh, so needful. Dear Lord, help us to come as the dear Lord came with the mighty roaring wind and then the mighty fire, but help us not to forget that after the wind and the fire there was still small voice. Bless these, my people and thy people. Now our heads are bowed. We don't have any steps. We don't have any carpet. We got some hardwood floors that will catch tears. And in these corners over here on either side, we got some room where people can kneel. Who knows but what God might look upon with more favor if you kneel on something that's not so comfortable. If tonight you as a child of God need to come down and ask forgiveness for unnecessary flood tides, unnecessary floods, unnecessary cloudbursts, unnecessary thunderstorms, and a small rain on a tender herb would have been all you needed to give. You need to lay that temper on the altar, that mighty roaring river that breaks out of its banks. You need to come. You do it. I wonder tonight how many of you would say, Brother Hiles, I'm not even a Christian. I wish I were. I'd like to be saved. I'd like to know that I'm going to heaven when I die. Preacher, you pray for me that I might be saved and know it. Raise your hand, please. If you're here, don't know that you're saved. Lift your hand way up high. Way up high, and I'll pray for you. We can show you here at the altar how you can go to heaven and know you're going to heaven. God bless you. Who else? Now when we're saying, if you need to come and receive Jesus, you do it. If you need to come tonight and profess a faith that you've already experienced, you do it. If you need to come tonight and get baptized, you come. If you need to come and join this church by transfer, you come. Now, if you're coming for salvation, or baptism, or church membership, or public profession of your faith, you come to the altar, and we'll meet you here at the altar. If you're coming, just ask God to forgive you because you've too often unnecessarily been a thunderstorm instead of a small rain upon a tender earth. You can just kneel on the side here. On the side somewhere, you can kneel. Father, bless the invitation. It's all yours. And may this little message tonight and this service tonight just be another step in our being able to be conformed in the image of thy dear Son. So when we do get to heaven, step across that river between here and thee, we won't have to change as much as we would have had to change. Bless us tonight. Help us to be more like Jesus because we've come this way. In His name, amen.